Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Orla, thank you very much for that. Now, the CEO of the Restaurants Association of Ireland, Adrian Cummins, has called for a national conversation on social welfare levels, given the substantial staff shortages facing hospitality and other sectors. We're joined now by Adrian and Michelle Murphy, Research and Policy Analyst with Social Justice Ireland, and you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. So Adrian, you tweeted over the last short while, why are 150,000 citizens claiming unemployment assistance when there are thousands of jobs available across the state? Time for a national conversation, you said. What is it that you think we need to talk about?
Well, first of all, there are 150,000 people claiming job seekers allowance across the state. We have a crisis across the economy, not just in the sector I represent, right across the economy, looking for staff. And I'm saying very clearly here, we need to have a debate around it. I didn't say that we should be cutting job seekers' benefits or any allowances. What I'm saying here is that why do we have 150,000 people that could work, are not working, and what's the reason for them not moving into the jobs market when we have so many vacancies across the state at the moment? And maybe we need to look at more deeper into this. Does these people, are they afraid of losing their benefits? Must we look at the medical cards circumstances for those to raise the thresholds, whatever it is? But I think we need to start a conversation somewhere. And I don't think we should automatically suppress that conversation by some quarters at the moment today.
Okay, I'm still not clear though what you're suggesting apart from let's ask questions. Is that all you're suggesting?
Well, let me just break it down for you, Sarah. We have 150,000 people, as I've said. You know, how long are these people on job seekers? Why haven't they taken up a job? Have we opened up all our offices, intro offices across the state fully now? Have there been all these 150,000 people brought in and met a representative from the intro office who look after social protection in the state? Have we put a case management in place for all of these and matched them with employers where there are available jobs? And that's what I'm saying here very clearly, that we have 150,000 people. We need to look at it very clearly, or else we either forget the 150,000 people, we move on, and we start to bring in people from outside the state for with immediate effect and start to fill the vacancies right across the state that businesses and employers are crying out for staff at the moment.
Okay. Michelle, what do you make of all that?
Well, look, Sarah, the unemployment rate in April, according to the CSO, was 4.8%, just over 129,000 people. So you're very close to full employment here, which full employment is categorised about 4.1%, which is where we were in July 2019. And actually, there's 56,000 less people unemployed in April this year than there were last year. Obviously, there's challenges because you're in a very tight labour market. There's going to be challenges for sectors, particularly in terms of pay and the conditions that they can offer to staff. The issue in terms of when you look at who is actually unemployed, you certainly have to take a look at the age profile, for example, and there's actually a significant cohort of those who would be over 50. You need to look at their location. You need to look at their educational qualifications. But, you know, to say that people are choosing to stay on a core social welfare rate of €208, the real value of which is about €192 a week, rather than go into employment, I mean, I find that very difficult to believe. However, Adrian is correct. We do need to have some sort of social dialogue around issues such as income adequacy, social welfare rates, around how you deliver housing, which has a real impact on wages, around things like childcare, and how we meet our climate targets, actually, which is going to have a significant impact, not just on sectors like agriculture and transport, but on sectors such as those that Adrian represents. If you're going to have lower tourist numbers, for example, what does that mean for hospitality? So yes, you do need a conversation in terms of social dialogue in those terms, but I don't think we should be pitting an unemployment rate of 4.8% against a social welfare rate of €208 a week.
Adrian?
Well, I think we can do better. I was saying, first of all, I'm looking at other countries across Europe who have a better unemployment rate than we have at the moment. So we can do better in this country. We're at 4.8% at the moment. And when you look at 2019 versus where we are at the moment, look at 2018 as well, we seem to be still on the 150,000 people unemployed at those 2 years, and that's pre-COVID. So the government has done very well to get to where we are at the moment. But can we do better? Of course we can. And then the question that I'm posing to the government is, are you now saying that's it? We have no more staff within the labour pool at the moment from the unemployment list. Do we now then need to look at outside Ireland, outside the European Union, to attract labour into this country, to fill all the vacancies across the state that every sector is looking for at the moment? And that's where we have to have a very, very a conversation very quickly about this and move our policy in a different direction, because otherwise these businesses that we can see across, even within my own sector, they can't open because they don't have staff.
Yeah.
And other sectors are saying to us now at the moment, you're correct, we're in the same position as well. We can't open. We can't have a proper...
Adrian, that the hospitality and tourism industry is worse affected, isn't it? I know there's a piece in the Sunday Business Post looking into this in detail, and there was Fred McDonough. He's a managing director of Red Chair Recruitment. He was quoted in that piece, and they provide employees to a whole load of different sectors, the HSE, sales, marketing, tech, finance, a whole load of different ones, and they say they're particularly noticing that people aren't showing up for work in the hospitality and construction industries, because in those industries people are being offered temporary contract positions, and when they get a different job in a different sector that gives them a bit more security, they're going for those jobs instead. So do you accept that your own industry has an issue in terms of the type of jobs and the conditions of the jobs that you're offering people?
I accept our industry has challenges at the moment trying to fill vacancies. And in the same article in the Sunday Business Post, it referenced IT sector, it referenced retail, it referenced other sectors as well, not just in hospitality. I think this is across the entire economy. I'm a lobbyist for the restaurant and hospitality sector. That's what I do, and I'm advocating on behalf of my sector. But every other sector is coming to us now and saying, okay, you've been in this position for quite a long time. Now we're in the same position. And we have keep going back to the 150,000 people that are on unemployment assistance. Let's have another look at it. Could we bring that down to less than 4%? Like in Czech Republic, is down at 2.3%. We can do better in this country.
Michelle, what do you make of that? I mean, when we say full employment is in around 5%, does that mean there's an acceptance that the 150,000 roughly, or I think you said 130,000 people who are currently unemployed, there's a sort of an acceptance that they will remain unemployed to a large extent?
Well, statistically, it's in around 4%, because you have churn in the labour market. Then you have, a small cohort, about the 30,000 who are the long-term unemployed, who need supports. And certainly you need to look at education, training, the supports you need to get people who are very distant from the labour market back into the labour market. But at the end of the day, the unemployment rate is 4.8%. It's 129,500 people. If there's a particular sector that's having a particular challenge, then you have to look at what are the contracts being offered in that sector and what are the pay and conditions being offered in that sector. And how can that sector offer better pay and conditions? Or is there training issues, for example? Adrian referenced that. Mm. But you do need to look at the supports the state is putting in. And a lot of those supports in terms of targeting those who are unemployed, long-term unemployed, for re-entering the labour market, those have been outsourced at this point to the private sector. So you have to look at what the performance is there and what sort of resources we as a country should be putting into that. Certainly no one's saying it's acceptable that is 129,000 people is an acceptable rate. But statistically, that's generally what is considered full employment. Yeah. And when you have a tight labour market and when people are getting offered better conditions elsewhere or better contracts, then obviously they're going to make the decision to take the better contract.
Yeah, a lot of people making that point as well, Adrian, I have to say, texting us to 51551 about the conditions in your industry and in your sector, the paying conditions that you're offering people. One person says, what about the ask him, I think that's you, what are the pensions benefits for waiting staff? Ask about sick pay. Ask about how many wait staff were told to come into work while having COVID symptoms, because my daughter was one, says that person. Another person says the hospitality industry expects you to work every weekend on minimum wage with not ever having the weekend off. That comes from Marie in Dublin. Another person says Adrian doesn't seem to understand it's not the same 150,000 people taking benefit at any one time. It's that people dip in and out of this. It's a safety net. God, this wears me out, says that person. I might just go back to that first text briefly before we wrap. The pension benefits for waiting staff, the sick pay. Well, you know, would you accept that in a lot of cases there are none of those benefits for waiting staff?
Well, what the government are doing at the moment, I don't want to be a spokesman for them. They're ringing in the sixth pay scheme for the entire economy.
But sure, that's the government. I'm talking about what the restaurants are doing.
And you could ask the same question to every other business owner across every other sector as well. That's on a case by case basis and how a business operates their own business. Is it across our entire sector? I don't know that. But that's on a case by case basis.
All right, Adrian. Well, I tell you what, we might bring you back and discuss that in a bit more detail. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but thank you very much for joining us. That's Adrian Cummins, CEO of the Restaurants Association of Ireland, and Michelle Murphy, Research and Policy Analyst with Social Justice Ireland. And just briefly, we'll take a look at a department statement, because all through this evening's drive time, listeners have been telling us about their tales of woe, really, about hotel prices. We're still getting texts on that. So we did ask the Minister for Tourism, Catherine Martin, to speak to us. She wasn't available, but we did get a statement from the department about it. And it says, the department is aware that businesses across Ireland and indeed the world are facing significant cost pressures due to inflation and other economic factors. But it is important that Ireland maintains its reputation as a value for money destination. It says value isn't just about the price you pay, it's also about what you get for that price. And Irish businesses have proven before that there are numerous ways to ensure the customer's experience matches the price, so that visitors are attracted back again and recommend Ireland to family and friends. Furthermore, Ireland has a lot to offer visitors, and it is important that people shop around, particularly during busy periods where demand is high. For the upcoming season, that may mean looking beyond the usual tourist hotspots to less traditional destinations that have unique and high quality experiences. Well, that's what the department has to say about the tourism sector here in Ireland. Let us know what you think.